Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everybody, to the class on Parshas Behar, 5771. Welcome to my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. We have two more Parshas to finish the book of Vayikra. God willing, next week we'll make our Chazak with Behukosai. It's separate Parshas this year. And we have discovered that Vayikra is right in the front and center in the Torah and our course on basics. We're deep in the middle of the basics of Jewish living, living the life of Torah, which is Kedusha. And I think that Behar and Behukosai give us a very, very unique opportunity to focus on an important aspect of that Jewish life, and that is Eretz Yisrael. It is very, very clear that both Behar and Behukosai are very, very clearly revolving around Eretz Yisrael. And I think that a topic like Eretz Yisrael gives us an extremely keen sense of what it is that we're trying to learn in Torah reality. When we describe Torah reality, it sounds like a fancy word. It just sounds like, what's the difference between Torah reality and a Devar Torah? But if you are able to take something and look at it from different perspectives and say, well, this is what it looks like to one person, this is what it looks like to the Torah, then you're really able to discern what is the distinction of Torah reality. And I think that Eretz Yisrael is an incredible opportunity for us to be able to discern what is Torah reality. We're going to look at what the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael. And that's something that everybody has a perspective on Eretz Yisrael. Every single person alive today has a perspective on Eretz Yisrael. Jews and non-Jews. Religious Jews have a perspective. Secular Jews have a perspective. Israelis, Americans, everyone has a perspective on Eretz Yisrael. We have to discover the Torah reality of Eretz Yisrael. And there's two parshios devoted to Eretz Yisrael. Just look at Behar. What are the topics? The first paragraph is about the sabbatical year, Shemitah. It is an entire year of Shabbos for the land. Like it says, the beginning of Parshas Behar, chapter 25, verse 2, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'omarto alehem, ki sovou el ha'aretz, asher ani nosein lachem, v'shavso ha'aretz, Shabbos l'ashem. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall observe a Shabbos rest for Hashem. And that's not going to be a day. That's going to be a year. A year of Shabbos. The next paragraph, the Shemitah cycle repeats every 7 years. Well, at the end of 7 cycles of Shemitah years, you have the Yovel, the Jubilee year. And on that year, the Kidashtem Eis Shnasa Hamishim Shana, verse 10, Ukrasem Duror Ba'oretz L'chol Yoshveha, Yovel Hi Tihiyelochem, V'shavtem Ish El Achuzaso, V'ish El Mishpachto, Tashuvu. You shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim freedom, or liberty, throughout the land, that's the land of Israel, not America, for all its inhabitants. It shall be the Jubilee year for you, and you shall return each man to his ancestral heritage, and you shall return each man to his family. Jubilee year, Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Torah goes on to say, if you ever want to buy a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, how much is it going to cost? Well, it depends. How many years are left until Yovel? Because at the end of Yovel, the sale is voided. The sale ends. There's no such thing as a permanent sale of land in Eretz Yisrael. You just can't do it. If there's a year left to the Yovel, then the price is going to be 1/50th of its value. Because it's really, you're basically only renting. That's all you can really do in Eretz Yisrael is rent, according to the Torah. If it's 49 years left, then it's going to be full value, because it's going to be a 49-year rental. Why would a person even sell land in Eretz Yisrael? Only for one reason. They were needy. They needed money. There's no other reason to sell land in Eretz Yisrael. It's your inheritance. It's your family, your tribal and your family inheritance. And therefore, there's rules in Parshas Bahar that if somebody has to sell land, if your brother becomes impoverished and sells part of his ancestral heritage, which is the only reason he would do it, just like in Monopoly, Lahavdil, you only sell your properties if you need money. So his redeemer, who is closest to him, shall come and redeem his brother's sale. Come on, this is tzedakah in its finest. Nobody wants to sell their land. If they're selling their land, it's only because they must. They're forced. So go and redeem it. If a man will have no redeemer, then he'll have to make do until Jubilee. Then he gets it back again. So we're already halfway through the Parsha. And there's more details. What if it's is there a difference if it's a field or if it's real estate in a walled city? And then it talks about, what about if he's a Levite? Now, Levites didn't have their own property, but they were given parcels of land within certain designated cities. What if a Levite has to sell his land? We're already almost finished with the Parsha. Oh, there's a line in the Parsha that says that Hashem says, I expect you to take care of the needy. I expect you to offer, those of you who have the means, to offer free loans to people and not to collect interest. And then he says, as if that, you might think that has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael per se, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim laseis lochem es Eretz Kanan lehios lochem le'lokim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, to be God unto you. You better believe that that mitzvah has to do with Eretz Yisrael. The only reason you're living in Eretz Yisrael is because I took you out of Egypt so that you could come and follow my commandments. So when I say, take care of the poor, take care of the needy, extend free loans, your life in the land of Israel depends on it. So, that's basically it. The whole Parsha is about living in Eretz Yisrael. And next week, Parshas Bechukosai, the national question, how long do we get to stay in Eretz Yisrael as a people? When are we going to go into exile? So, if we can, for the next 2 weeks, the Torah reality on Eretz Yisrael, this week we'll cover more from a personal perspective for the individual Jew. What does it mean to live in Eretz Yisrael? Why live in Eretz Yisrael? And then next week, B'chukosai, with the Tochacha, we'll try to look at it from a more communal, more historical perspective, and the destiny of the Jewish people as a whole. But we've got two gezunta parshas. To really, the Torah is focusing on Eretz Yisrael. It's not my choice. There's no other topic really that would be that is considerable. So, let's talk again about this Torah reality perspective. Everybody has their view, but there's a very big difference between perspectives. There's a great Torah sage today, Rav Sheinberg. May he live and be well. He's beyond 100. He's an American boy, grew up in the streets of New York. And from what I understand, he was a good pitcher. Could you imagine, Rav Sheinberg, the impact he's had on the Torah world, if somebody would say, oh, Rav Sheinberg, he's a great man. He was a great pitcher when he was young. How would that perspective be on a Gadol BaTorah, on a great Torah giant? Would that be a good perspective, an appropriate perspective? How about, let's talk about Shabbos. What do you love about Shabbos? I think Shabbos is a very important day because you get good meals. Good food is on Shabbos. That's why Shabbos is important. It's a day to eat well. That's true. It's true. But is that an apt description of Shabbos? Of course not. I mean, that's a perspective. It's true. It's part of it. It's even part of the Torah perspective, but it's a shadow of what it really means. So the same thing is true when we describe Eretz Yisrael or when we experience Eretz Yisrael. You know, everybody loves going there. You know, what do you love about Eretz Yisrael? Well, I love going there because I just love walking out in the streets, and the people there are all Jewish, and there's great, great restaurants there, and I love sitting in the hustling and bustling streets and just eating a falafel and just looking around me and hearing speaking Hebrew everywhere. And then you get on the bus and you drive to the north and you drive to the south, and it's just so beautiful. And when you're there, when you listen to the news and you hear about the political situation, you really feel it. It's really intense because it's happening right here on these streets. These are impressions that I have. I mean, I all of these things I got from my own head. It's true. Is this the depth of the Torah reality of Eretz Yisrael? This is really, talk about Torah reality, this is the test of our times. I mean, just how do we perceive things? We live in a society which everything is just like on the surface. It's just however it hits your senses. It's just like, how do you experience? How does it taste? How does it look? What a great experience. I love that. Is there an attempt to use the seichel? Not the imagination, the seichel. What is it all about? What is the purpose? Let's clarify. Why are we here? What are we supposed to be accomplishing? We're not just a consumer in life. When we just get to take it all in and have reactions and say, discuss whether we liked it, whether we didn't like it. So whatever the Torah reality is, it's something that requires study. It requires thinking. It requires truth. It requires a tradition. It requires an age-old Mesorah, an age-old tradition of what it is that was handed down from Moshe from Hashem to Moshe at Har Sinai and passed on from generation to generation. This is what we have to grasp. This is what we have to try to uncover. What is the Torah reality about Eretz Yisrael? So I'd like to pray today we get a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of an idea that Torah reality, that Eretz Yisrael, is something which has to do with our own personal purpose, mission in life. It has to do with my avodah, my service, my relationship with Hashem. Eretz Yisrael has to do with that. I'm not going to look at Eretz Yisrael as some place to go and just enjoy. It has to do with what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Eretz Yisrael is part of that. So let's talk about it, okay? We've learned a lot together from the beginning of the Torah. There was God and there was man. God created man with the purpose of bestowing ultimate pleasure to this man, to this creation, to allow him, with the godly soul that was invested in him and placed in a world where he would be given the opportunity to discover and to uncover Hashem's presence, that this creature, this man, will actually be able to unite, to connect in his heart, with his speech, with his deeds, to this Creator. This journey would involve a man learning about himself, learning what his desires are, and eventually trying to learn what are the desires and what are the will of the Creator, and try to connect His desire, His will, to the will of Hashem, and to become close to Him and to resemble Him. And he will do this by trying to uncover and study this Torah, try to get the flow of the Torah, the reality of the Torah, trying to implement the Torah into the life. For much of life, as the Torah says, God will be concealed, there will be Hester Panim, and man will have to try very hard to discover God. We will be in the Galut for much of our existence, in the exile. We're going to have to try to discover God, and we're going to have to try to yearn to get back to the Geula, to the redemptive state, when Hashem is much more revealed. Ultimately, we are going to long for and yearn for the Tikkun, the rectification of the entire world, where God can reveal Himself. So that's the purpose. That's what we're here for. We're here to connect to God as a people and as individuals. Each of us can find our mission. We're going to need a lot of help. We're going to need lots of help because it's not clear. The path is not straightforward. The perspective is not clear. As we said, Hashem is concealed. There's a lot of things out there, a lot of choices to make. We need a lot of help. So we mentioned we have the Torah, but we need help for the Torah. We need help from people. We spoke last week about two major tenets of basics in Parshas Emor. We need the help of the Kohanim, the experts, the Torah experts. We also need help in our environment. Hashem provides time, Kedushas Hazman, the holiness of time. He has given us gifts, different special times. Shabbos, holidays, seasons, the ability to grow with each passing day, such as during the days of the Omer. These are all things that we need help with, that help us to reach our goal. And Hashem gave us another big aid for us to reach our goal. Eretz Yisrael. He gave us a place which is more conducive for connecting with Him. That's the Torah reality of Eretz Yisrael. It is the place that God provided with greater sanctity, and in it, a Jew will be able to find more assistance, more inspiration, more strength to be able to connect with Him. So, as we said before, Eretz Yisrael is a part of something bigger. Eretz Yisrael is an aspect of Torah. Eretz Yisrael is not something divorced from Torah, and it's not the totality of Torah. It is a part of Torah. It is a place which was designed and designated by Hashem to help His creatures, namely the Jewish people, have a greater access to fulfilling our mission, our purpose, of connecting with God. We connect with God through our Torah. We connect with God through our Kohanim. We connect with God through our community. We connect with God through our special times. We connect with God in Eretz Yisrael. I was looking for some reading material on Eretz Yisrael, so I pulled off my shelf a volume, which I haven't read a lot from in this class over the years, but it's a famous sefer called the Kuzari, written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. This is actually reformatted. It was written in the form of a debate between different leaders of religions, and this is the rabbi's perspective. There's a lot of debate about whether it really occur, this debate, or was it just written as a debate? Anyway, the Kuzari is, hundreds of years old, and it provides a lot of the basis for Jewish philosophy. So in the very end of the book, there is a section on Eretz Yisrael. So I started reading it, and it was great. And then I said, you know what, let me also see what Rabbi Volba has to say about Eretz Yisrael, because Rabbi Volba was the contemporary, you know, Musar teacher. And I open up one of his Sfarim, and I look for his section, also near the end of the book, all about Eretz Yisrael. And what do I see? Right away, he quotes from the Kuzari. And he says, Ein lanu ela divrei Rabbi Yehuda Halevi eile. Kedei ladas soda uskulasa shel Eretz Yisrael. All we have to go on are the words of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi to know the secret and the virtue of Eretz Yisrael. So, Rabbi Volba says, you picked up the right book the first time. So this is what he quotes. Its virtues. Adam lived and died in the Holy Land. For tradition teaches that four couples were buried in the cave of Machpelah in Hebron. Adam and Chava, Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Rachel was buried in her tomb on the way to Beis Lechem. This is the land which is located in the presence of God. This is the land which is located in the presence of God. The other lands are not in the presence of God. And of which it is said, the eyes of God are always upon it. It is stated that Cain went away from the presence of God, which means that he left the Holy Land in which he had been living. So, going away from the Holy Land means going away from the presence of God. Similarly, it is said of Jonah, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from before God, which means that he fled from the land of prophecy. Do you know why Jonah ran away? Because God wanted to give him a prophecy to tell him to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to get the prophecy. So he said, I know, I'll leave Eretz Yisrael, and then I won't get prophecy. Which means that in order to get prophecy, in order to be close to God, on the level of prophecy, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Holy Land ranks next to the Garden of Eden in importance and prominence. The sages said, the atmosphere of the Holy Land makes a person wise. In their great love for it, the sages said, he who walks 4 cubits in the Holy Land is assured of happiness in the world to come. Isaiah said, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, Zion being Israel, Torah and the work of God from Jerusalem. The Holy Land of Israel is considered so important that it is even given its own Sabbath of the land, as is written in Parshas Bahar. Our Parsha. Why is there Shemitah? Because, just like the Jewish people are so holy that we have Shabbos, the land of Israel is so holy that it has Shabbos. It is forbidden for a person to transact a perpetual sale of his holding in the Holy Land, as it is said in Parshas Bahar, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for it is my land, says Hashem. We are guests of God in Eretz Yisrael. It's not really our land. That's why we can't own it. That's why we can't sell it. That's why we can't work it when God says not to work. It's not really our land. It's His land. We are His guests. So, what did we learn? Eretz Yisrael is a place where we can achieve the goal of life. Now, Rabbi Volba adds that not only was Eretz Yisrael not given to any angels. He was talking about how every land has its ambassador, and Eretz Yisrael has no ambassadors because it is direct connection with Hashem. It was also not even given to man to own, like the other lands. And then he quotes our verse that says you cannot sell it for perpetuity. Eretz Yisrael was not given to people like other lands. It is in Hashem's domain, and anyone that lives there is living there as a guest of Hashem. Okay, so what does that do to our perspective of Torah reality in Eretz Yisrael? It means that we have to try, as difficult as it is, try to focus on the Jew, his mission, and what Eretz Yisrael can do to that. And not to be distracted by the commercialization and the secularism of Israel as a country. We, as Jews, if we want to have the proper perspective, we've got to remember that it is Hashem's land, and that it is there to enable us to fulfill our purpose as Jews. What about living in Eretz Yisrael today? What about living in Eretz Yisrael today? So I'm not going to give an answer, obviously, but let's keep in mind two things. Thing number one, Eretz Yisrael is still Eretz Yisrael. A Jew today can go and find there an easier access to holiness. A person can go there and find that a lot of the barriers to being Jewish outside of the land are gone. Of course, there's also, as we mentioned, a lot of counter perspectives that can be very, very distracting when you go there. The other thing to keep in mind is that even on the Torah side, a person who goes to Eretz Yisrael has to be prepared to live in a land which is closer to God. For example, if a Jew says today, well, it says that I have to keep Shabbos. I don't keep Shabbos, but maybe I should. I'm just going to start keeping Shabbos right away. We're going to say to them, hold on a minute. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? You have to make sure. Shabbos isn't just an event. It is a step up. It is an elevation of your life. If you're going to keep Shabbos, you have to live on a different plane. Are you ready for that? So the same thing in Eretz Yisrael. You want to live in Eretz Yisrael? Wait a minute. You're going to live in front of Hashem. You can't just go there and business as usual. You have to make sure that you're accepting upon yourself to live before Hashem. That's something that has to be considered. It's not something casual. And therefore, relating that to the question today, should I go, shouldn't I go? I don't know. These are your two considerations. Why should you go? Because it'll help you be a better Jew. It can help you be a better Jew if you have the right perspective. Why shouldn't you go? Maybe I'm not ready to take that giant step in my spiritual development. In other words, don't go casually. Don't just go like a tourist. If you're going to Eretz Yisrael, make sure you know what the Torah perspective is and make sure you're up to that. If you're going to go there and you're not going to have the same connections, you're going to lose out on your community, you're not going to have your rabbis, you're not going to find your place, or you're not going to be able to live because making a parnassa is so difficult, because it's in a higher spiritual plane, there are more tests. Just like the Jewish people were tested when they met with God throughout the trek in the desert, many, many tests. A Jew has to be prepared to undergo serious challenges in Eretz Yisrael because it is a spiritual endeavor, because Hashem is testing us. So make sure that we go into Israel for the right reasons and with our eyes open. I thought that I would, as I'm getting to the end, I thought that I would quote one of our favorite rabbis, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, mm-hmm. who, more than most people, has really, really taught, spoken, written, and lived an American Jew aspiring to live in Eretz Yisrael. He was there several times during his rabbinate for his sabbaticals. One was the year of the Six-Day War, and the other one was the year of the Yom Kippur War. Mm-hmm. So after the Yom Kippur War, he wrote this book called The Biblical Echo, Reflections on Bible, Jews, and Judaism. And this is what he writes about the Jew and his land. And Rabbi Feldman calls it like he sees it. And I'm starting just in the middle. I'm going to read a few paragraphs here. If these are very difficult times for non-believers, he speaks about how those who came to Israel and the only connection, the only association they had was Zionism, secular Zionism, they were really going to find themselves in a hole. If these are very difficult times for non-believers because they have very little left, these are also difficult times for believers, for for they know the soul of the land, and it is a sensitive one. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKedosha, the holy land. It is also the land of holiness. It cannot be lived upon like any other land. This land has its own special soul, its own life, and is so constituted that like a delicate organism, it cannot tolerate strange and foreign ways within its borders. The God-filled land cannot suffer the efforts, conscious or casual, to empty it of God and to replace Him with nothingness. And in the fullness of time, the land spews out that which is offensive to it. The same Torah which promises Israel's return to her ancestral land also promises that this land cannot endure profaneness. Is it not possible that the same God who before our very eyes is fulfilling the first may also choose once again to fulfill the second? These are difficult times for believers as well. Now, in 1974, you know, that was 35 years ago, more than 35 years ago. Right? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Feldman didn't yet know of all the tremendous miracles and the influx and the rebirth and the building of spiritual life in Israel. I mean, he saw it starting. Mm-hmm. And I think if we asked him today, he would probably say it's very encouraging. But I don't think he would be any less ambivalent and fearful of the negative consequences as well. For a believer who daily recites the Shema Yisrael, certain passages in that testament of faith are very disturbing. I tremble when I become fully aware of the meaning of Hishamru Lachem, take heed, lest you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, and you will perish quickly from the good land which He gives you. I tremble because this has already been fulfilled several times in Jewish history. And when my Jerusalem neighbor goes off to a discotheque on Friday night, plays raucous American music on his stereo on all of Shabbat, I despair. Not so much because Shabbat should not be abandoned in Jerusalem, but because what he is doing is so imitative of a culture foreign to us, and because he is ignoring himself, his essence, his innate Jewishness. In his innocence and Jewish ignorance, this product of Israeli secularism barters sanctity for banality, and is unaware that he lives in a land that is holy. I hope that God will be patient with us, with my neighbor for ignoring him, God, and with me for being intolerant of him who serves in the army and who is willing to lay down his life for me. So I cannot be intolerant. I must be very grateful to this individual, says Rabbi Feldman. But my neighbor makes me think, have we earned the right to live in God's land? And so he concludes, it is time to permit him to re-enter his land, to turn to authentic Jewish modes of thinking and behaving. It is time to take the land of Israel out of Galut. Take the land of Israel out of Galut and to stop warring after false gods. It is time to turn off the fourth-rate American rock music and to begin listening to our own rhythms. It is time for the land of the Bible to take its Bible more seriously. It is time that Israel understands that Jews expect more from her because she is what she is, and to understand that she is failing the diaspora, and to begin to consider another path. What worries me most about Israel, the land that I love and the people that is mine, is the Torah. This too is mine. So what is the Torah perspective on Eretz Yisrael? It's part of the Torah. Next week we'll talk more about how the Torah starts with Eretz Yisrael. The very, very first commentary of Rashi in the Torah is that the whole reason we have the book of Bereishis is to educate us about Eretz Yisrael. Our challenge, and more so than other things, is to find the Torah reality of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is in everyone's life. Or at least Israel is in everyone's life. And it's in everyone's thoughts, and it's in everyone's mind. But what reality? Ours is the Torah reality, and just like anything else in Torah, Eretz Yisrael is part of that. So our challenge is to find the Torah reality of Eretz Yisrael. Questions? Don't worry. That means that it's time for me to stop talking. Okay. Shkolach. Yes.
I don't remember if I've ever learned it. Where do they say the Garden of Eden was? You said it was in, it is in Eretz Yisrael.
It doesn't say, but the implication is that the Garden of Eden is holier than other spots, even within Eretz Yisrael. The proof is that nobody can go there.
Isn't it behind the Kotel? Isn't it the same?
That's Mount Moriah.
Mount Moriah. Yitzhak, is
right.
That also the Garden of Eden?
I don't know. I don't think it is. We can at least see Mount Moriah today. Can't really go there.
You can touch it.
Yeah.
I mean, behind the
wall. But we don't even know where the Garden of Eden is.
Yeah, we don't know where
But you read that Cain was expelled from Eretz Yisrael.
That would imply that the Garden of Eden was in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe it is. I'm not saying it is or it isn't.
Okay.
It just didn't say that anywhere. That's a good implication.
Weren't he and his family expelled from the Garden even before he was expelled from Eretz Yisrael?
Right. He was expelled from Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but his whole family was expelled from the Garden of Eden before,
yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be...
Right,
I mean, it
right.
Be
that's why I'm saying it doesn't follow, necessarily follow.
But
yeah, but what we read is that Garden of Eden is the holiest, and then outside of that is Eretz Yisrael.
The Holy of Holies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead, Ruby and Wendy.
So I have two questions here. One is, if you buy the land from the Arabs, does it have to go back to the Arabs? Like, there's land that people try to buy.
Oh, no.
It's not going to go back.
Oh, no. But it's not
really Arabs to begin with.
Well, but the thing is, in Golus, the problem, I mean, in the times of Golus, we do not have full control of the land. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well,
you know, when we're banished...
You know, in the times of...
We don't have Yovel now, no. I've heard that we can reinstitute Yovel as soon as the majority of Jews are living in the land of Israel. That could come sooner.
Yeah.
We're close to that. Shemitah we still observe, and we know when it is. Yovel we're not observing. I wanted to read how the Kuzari ends up, this book. Man's love and yearning for the Holy Land helps speed the fulfillment and realization of the awaited promise. So we can make it happen by loving and yearning for the Holy Land. As it is said, you will rise and have compassion on Zion. When its time to be favored will come, when the appointed time will come, when your servants will take pleasure in her stones and bestow their favor on her dust. Psalms, that's Tehillim. This means that Jerusalem will be rebuilt only when Jewry yearns for it to the extent that even its stones and dust are precious to us. Yashar Koach. Thank you. And see you, Mirtz Hashem, next week for part 2.